With practice and qualifying in the books, Brian and I are here to get you set for the Goodyear 400. This week with NASCAR in their field set, we are going to give you the drivers on DraftKings to target, the ones to fade, and who's the best value, as well as hopefully look at some outright odds if the books are able to post them for us. Before we get done, it's our new challenge, all on today's Angle of Pursuit podcast.
Check out the big brain on
Ross Chastain used the wall all the way around this racetrack.
Logano has been the class of the field.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
Yeah, I need to change my underwear.
Misclicked a little bit there. It's a little early in the morning, but we're making it work. Brian Twining, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm going to sound like a broken record again, but I love these early morning practice and qualifying sessions. It's nothing like getting up out of a nice sound sleep, straight jumping into a couple cups of coffee. I'm already halfway through my pot, you know, watching cars drive around in circles really fast for practice. Yes, we are talking about practice.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could join you on the nice sound sleep thing, but that's okay. I'll get that in probably 18 years.
It's the wonders of not having children.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It's one of the things you definitely miss, but it's okay. I'm making it up when I can. So practice is over. Qualifying order is set. We can talk about who performed well, who performed not so well, and where we are now with qualifying and everything all set. We can look at DraftKings pricing. I will pull that up now. Just kidding.
Yeah, I'll just start by saying, is Ford back? Like, they
people are asking.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the hottest topic of the night today before we go green on Sunday. Is Ford looked really good on the long run during practice. You saw a bunch of surprising names up there. I mean, you and I were just joking prior to jumping on here. Austin Cindric, like, what in the world is going on? He's an immediate fade for me. But it's just really interesting seeing those guys at the top of the board in the long run splits. And then you also have Todd Gilliland, Brad Keselowski, and Chris Buescher, the RFK boys, looked absolutely fantastic. And, you know, the entire top of the board was made up of Fords. I believe it was like the top five guys in the 25 lap splits were all Fords. Actually, the top six, all Fords and 25 lap averages. So it'll be interesting to see if that's race pace or if that was just them trying to push the envelope during practice while the rest of the guys were testing things and just trying different lines during practice. So it's going to make DK even harder this week, I think.
Yeah, it's really tough. Obviously, the top of the board especially is going to be challenging. Maybe when we build lineups here at the end, we can, you know, build one where we fade the Fords completely and assume they're still going to be not very good. And then maybe we build another lineup where we go Ford heavy and expect them to bounce back. Because I think it's, you know, obviously you can sprinkle in a Keselowski or a Buescher or something, but given where they're starting, it might be a little more difficult this week. So I think you either want to take a stance, either you're in on Fords, you're out on Fords. Obviously you can mix and match. You don't have to go completely one way or the other, but I think that's probably the best move. Maybe you sprinkle in the Blaney or something if you really feel strongly about them, but overall don't really love the Fords. So that'll be a decision point as we kind of dive into this top range. We have six guys between 10K and 11.5K. Hamlin is your most expensive driver at 11.5, I think for good reason.
Not surprising.
Starting seventh. Larson starting sixth at 11.3 was really good in practice. Byron starting fifth, 11K. Truex starting 10th at 10.7. Tyler Reddick, your pole sitter, at 10.3. And Chris Bell starting 12th at an even 10K. I guess, mostly early dominator targets, maybe like a second dominator if you want to go the Truex or Bell route. I guess, where's your head going? Who jumps out the most to you? And who are you most excited to fade in this group?
Well, if you follow our Substack, you've seen that I've had Denny Hamlin as my top guy. I think it's three or four consecutive weeks. And I mean,
spoiler alert, I think he's going to be your top guy again this week.
Yeah, I mean, more than likely. I mean, the dude is just he is on another level this season. And I mentioned it last week when talking about his current season. It reminds me of the 2020 year when it was always him or Harvick. showing up with the best speed. They were always competing for the victories up front. And last week too, like Hamlin was right there until, you know, just you got that late race caution. It kind of messed things up. So I don't see how you can just how you can fade Denny at this point. But I will say of this group, I'm going to have a really difficult time not getting to Christopher Bell, who looked incredible during practice. Despite what the averages might say, Clint Bowyer hit on it. There was a moment where you saw him slip underneath. It was like more than a second off his pace, probably because he was trying to get around lap cars or not lap cars during practice, but just slower cars. He was stuck in traffic. And so it kind of messed with his lap averages. But yeah. If you were watching the live feed of this, the live Delta, he was running incredibly fast times really late into runs, which were about a tenth or so better than the rest of the field. So I think Christopher Bell, despite not qualifying inside the top 10, might possibly have the best car.
And that might make for a good target when odds get reposted, because he wasn't great in practice, although, you know, if you were watching, you saw that, and then was fine in qualifying, but not amazing. So I'm curious to see if we get a new good number or if books are a little onto it and they could post him a little shorter than we maybe wanted to. It feels like a good week to target Toyotas. I don't know if we can make it work, but like a Hamlin Truex, Hamlin Bell, or even Truex Bell could be a really fun way to get involved up here. Obviously, the Hendrick boys are always interesting. Yeah. Are we skipping over Reddick too quickly? Is he somebody that you have any interest in, or because even though he's the pole sitter and looked good, just the fact that he's with these other guys, it's going to be hard to get to him even at a little bit of a discount.
No, I don't necessarily think that, we should skip over him. We're just looking at ceiling plays here. I think Christopher Bell has just as good a chance to win this race as Tyler Reddick does. And you'd be getting a $300 difference in savings, and you're getting a possibility of 11 placement points with him or a Denny starting seventh. Yeah, you're paying up for him, but who would you rather have at this point of the season in a late race situation, Denny Hamlin or Tyler Reddick? I mean, that, you know, you have to weigh these things. So I think Reddick will see a little bit of his roster percentage held back by the fact that we have all these guys up here. I mean, Byron, last spring's winner, Kyle Larson, favorite every single week, and then the aforementioned Denny and Christopher Bell. And the guy we haven't even talked about, Martin Truex Jr., who, look, I'm all in on the old farts this weekend. I think that this is the type of track where the old heads benefit from having run here a ton of times already throughout their career. They've seen it all here. They know how to manufacture good finishes. They know how to save their tires. So I think Truex is a sneaky play still, starting from that 10th position.
Oh, yeah. No, he's definitely going to be very popular. Truex, Larson, and Hamlin are going to be the most popular from this range, given what we've seen of late, given what we've seen, the last few tracks, especially last week being a pretty good comparison in terms of possible ownership. So if you like Reddick or Byron, or especially Christopher Bell, I think you're going to get a nice ownership discount if you're diving into this range. So, you know, you could pair a Hamlin if you really like him, or Truex with a Bell, save some ownership there and still have really high upside. Let's talk 9K. Chase Elliott starting 31st is going to be insanely popular at 9,800. Chastain starting 9th at 96. Kyle Busch starting 11th at 94. Brad Kay starting front row at 92, and Ryan Blaney starting 17th at an even 9K. Another interesting range. Obviously, like I said, Elliott's going to be insanely popular. Do you have any interest in Chastain, Busch, or Keselowski?
I mean, I like Chastain and Busch because I think that they could work their way inside the top five, but it's going to be hard to get there just because they only have a couple placements that they could get. Obviously, their ceiling is a win. So, I mean, if you think that that's possible, I like them a lot more. But I don't necessarily see them competing up front after seeing what we did during practice and qualifying. No. I think Keselowski is probably going to be the most polarizing play this week. Starting on the front row, something we haven't seen him really do this season, but somebody who is extremely popular in the betting markets, especially like top 10, top four markets there. So, the fact that he unloaded well could go one of two ways. Either this is a Joey Logano situation where he's super fast in qualifying and then he drops like a rock during the race and something happens possibly, or the Fords have legitimately figured it out. And Brad Keselowski is going to be competing up front all day and possibly win the race. So, you know, you have to weigh those two things and which one you think is more likely. And I think Keselowski makes for a great pivot off of those guys in that 10 plus range.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely like saving salary. You're finding a way to be a little bit unique. He's not going to be very popular, I feel. If he was starting 12th instead of second, I think he'd be insanely popular. But given what we saw, he is potentially going to be able to do some interesting things. It's hard for me to trust the Fords. And it's hard for me to see him. Even if he wins the damn race, like, he would have to be dominant, and to see him dominant over Truex and Kyle Larson and Denny Hamlin. And it's just a little more difficult, but you know, if you really feel strongly about him, I could see the logic there for sure. Kyle Busch starting 11th, I think, is the one that really jumps out to me. I think, you know, we've been on him a little bit all week. You have him outright 16-1. Do you think we see a 20 when odds repost, or do you think it's more like 12, 14?
No, so we've seen it the last two or so weeks. I feel like the sports books are getting a little sharper when it comes to posting post-qualifying odds, and they're not overreacting to certain things. So I definitely think Bush is probably going to be in that 12 to 14 range, or 12 to 16 range still. Same with Chastain. Like, he's going to be double digits, but it's not going to be, you know, 18 or anything of that nature. And then Keselowski too, like, even qualifying second, I don't think he's going to be inside. I don't think he's going to be single digits, just merely because you have all the guys in the 10K range in DK, which does correlate to betting oftentimes, that are going to be holding down the odds and keeping everybody else a little bit longer than they probably should be. So I think Keselowski probably, you know, 12, 14 as well. Which is going to be hard to get down on these guys too, because you have those favorites, and these are shorter numbers than you would have normally wanted to bet. Like, look, I like Keselowski. I think he's got a good shot to win, but I have a hard time betting him at that number where he hasn't won a race in forever. And same thing DK wise, like, you're paying a lot for a guy who hasn't led laps. Like, he's led a total of 15 laps the last six times we've come here at Darlington.
Yeah, I think the Keselowski numbers were good pre-practice and qualifying. I think at this point, the majority of the odds are going to be kind of gone. Maybe you can find a nice matchup, or maybe top four or something where you can get a little bit of value, but he is going to be hard to get to in the betting market for sure. Let's talk the 8K range. I'm just pulling up some of the sites to see if we can get some odds before we are done recording, but so far not so good. Logano, your guy, starting 14th, 8,800. Ty Gibbs starting 4th. He just gets us. By the way, what do you think his odds are going to be when they repost?
I think it's going to be the same thing. Like, what was 14th. He like 16 or something?
He
or
14? Was 30.
Oh, he'll probably be in the mid-teens again. Like, you're going to see a large gaggle of drivers in that 12 to 16 range, I think.
It's a great word. A gaggle of drivers.
Yeah. And I for what it's worth, like, I have no interest in playing Gibbs starting 4th at 8,500. I don't know if he's going to be able to hang on for the entirety of the race. And starting so far up in the grid like this, I would much rather pay up for Keselowski, honestly.
If you can find stage bets, maybe a stage one winner, Tyrone Gibbs, and then see him get out of the paint. I'm happy I have the 30-1 on my betting card. But
if you're sitting on that, that's great.
He's definitely a little worrisome for sure. Just because, especially if we do see like it being tire wear being an issue, and like the vets pushing their way up to the front, he's going to be.
We saw it at Bristol. That's
Bubba Wallace starting 8th, 8,200. Alex Bowman starting 18th at 8,000. Are you still interested in Logano given what we saw and the potential resurgence from Fords, or are you kind of wishy-washy in terms of his potential on DraftKings especially?
So my optimism for Logano was obviously just thinking that maybe his numbers would shorten post-practice and qualifying. Now, he wasn't the greatest during practice by any means. you know, but one thing, again, he's a veteran at this track. He's always kind of run well here. I think he was one of the old guys that was just kind of managing his tires during practice to see what, like, race condition would be. And so, you know, I'm not taking too much away from that. He did show decent speed in qualifying. It's like his worst qualifying effort in quite some time here, though. So, you know, that was a little disappointing. I still have optimism for a top 10, but can he be a potential top five car? I don't really know anymore. So at 8,800, I don't know if I could get there with him. I honestly, like, this is going to sound disgusting, but I think Bubba Wallace starting eighth, who has run incredibly well here the last three times we've come here in the Gen 7 car, for me is a better play than Logano at 14th, because you're saving $600. He's only starting six spots higher, and he has probably the same, if not a better shot at a top five, being in a car that's ran well here in, you know, the previous three iterations.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great call on your part. I like that a lot. Any interest in Bowman starting 18th?
I mean, Bowman the Showman in that paint scheme, he's going to look incredible, but I think a top 10 is possible.
He's going to look incredible not being on TV very much, because he's
going to be really exactly.
7K, Christopher Buescher starting third, 7,800. Eric Jones, 30th, 7,500. No aggressive.
Y'all can thank me now. After, if you follow me on Twitter, I said it. I had zero interest in betting Eric Jones numbers pre-practice and qualifying. He's never qualified well here. Proving my point, first race back off of a two race absence. Kyle touched on it when we recorded earlier in the week. Like, we saw it with Elliott and Bowman. They struggled first getting back in the car. So,
yeah, this is a good track for him, but like, this is not the week to get in on.
However, starting 30th in DK, he's probably going to be one of the most rostered guys.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I
topped only by the guy below him in Noah Gragson, who clipped the wall in his qualifying effort. So he has a much better car than what is shown there.
So do you think people are on Jones? Given where he's starting, that's obviously an interesting shout. But given that he's also coming back from injury, do you think people are like, they don't really care because they're not asking him to win the race? They're just asking him to, like, have a good performance from there. If he could get anywhere near the top 10, you're pretty happy.
Yeah, like I just think based on his previous performances here and the fact that, you know, finishing results aren't the end all for this stuff, because, you know, he's had issues the last couple of races, but this is his best track. So like, I don't see any reason to fade him in DraftKings. It's just a matter of how you're going to build your lineup, knowing that everybody is going to want him.
Yeah, and he was decent in practice. Like, he wasn't amazing. Yeah. He was fine.
But so again, because of his past history here, like, he doesn't have to come out here and see if he's got good stuff. Like, they know what he's able to do. So he was probably, you know, testing the waters for race condition type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's an adjustment we need to make prior to starting. All right. 66Ks. We have Chase Briscoe, 13th. Josh Berry, 33rd, Richard Stenhouse Jr., 20th, Michael McDowell, 16th, Austin Dillon, 23rd, Austin Cindric, who was the best car in practice, or at least in terms of average 10, 15, 20, 20, like, he was basically crushing it, but finished starting 25th, starting 6,200, and John Hunter, an even 6K. Interesting range. Austin Dillon?
Honestly, I don't know what to do with these guys, because Cindric clearly has long run speed. But again, you know, he's going to be starting in the mid back of the pack. It's not going to be the same conditions as they were in practice today. So he's not going to have as clean of air. He's going to be bunched up with a bunch of dudes taking different lines. He's not going to be able to run his preferred line as often as he did during practice. So is that car going to operate the same as it did in today's session? Probably not. And we've seen how good or how not good Cindric is when he's running in the back of the pack. And so, you know, he might be popular, which to me screams immediate fade, because knowing that people are probably going to look at this practice and be like, oh man, he's got long run speed, I want no part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a gross range. It doesn't look like ownership's going to be piling up too much in any one name, which is interesting. I do wonder if last week where we kind of just crossed off the 6K range because they weren't really much different from the 5K range, get a little bit of an extra discount and make lineups work a little easier. We just kind of run that back again. Because if we dive into the 5K range, like there's some Ryan Preece, interesting, probably not Josevar. Do we want to do the LaJoy thing again?
I would much rather go to Josevar than LaJoy.
Okay, I like that.
I think Josevar has surpassed LaJoy in potential.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I thought LaJoy was like really making strides last year, and then he's just back to being a crap bag again.
crap bag.
Yeah. Todd Gilliland, I know he's starting 15th.
Dude.
Maybe.
Hey, we've seen it with Front Row Motorsports, and you know, they've had speed unloading.
And if McDowell's leaving, maybe they're...
I don't know if that's quite yet, though. Like, I'm glad you brought that up, because I had thought about this often as we were coming towards practice and qualifying. Like, are they going to make that transition now, or are they going to wait until after, say, Sonoma at a road course where McDowell is literally...
If they're like, we have a couple setups, and we really like one, and the other one's probably good, too, but we're not really sure, and... You know, I think anytime there's like one thing, then they could either put it in either car or whatever. Like, I think they're always going to leave. Oh, we got an extra 20 minutes. Let's go to Gilliland's car because he's going to be with us. Let's add this part to Gilliland's car. Let's, you know what I mean? Like, I think they'll tend to lean his way if it's choosing an extra 20 minutes of work between the two cars or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's crazy. I think he's a fine target. I think he's starting a little bit farther forward than most people want to get to. And at 5,500, like maybe he kills you, but I don't see that being the case. Obviously you'd rather him start like 25th over 15th, but maybe that gives us a little bit of an extra discount. Harrison Burton, Justin Haley, Daniel Hemric, Derek Krause, and Kaz Grala round out the 5K range. Obviously, the
Justin
same old
Haley cast... is my dog.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny how we flipped around on him like three times. Like we were like, get on him, and then we're like, no, he's on Rick Ware now. We can't trust him the same way, and now we're back.
Yep, we are back to the Justin Haley. 100%
back. He'll probably be pretty popular, but that's okay. I think Burton's fine too, especially if you trust the Fords. Like if you do any Logano Blaney stuff, or even like God forbid Cindric something.
Oh my gosh!
I think Burton's fine.
Cindric, I don't even want to hear that name.
Cindric. Okay, let's build our three lineups. We could do the Toyota thing. We could start with our Ford lineup and just get that knocked out. We could, is it Denny for you as the most interesting person?
Yeah, I think you got to build a lineup with Denny. Honestly, I was just going to say, I think this is where you choose between another of the 10K plus guys. And last week, wasn't the optimal Denny and Larson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it might be this week too.
That's what I'm saying. And for what it's worth, Kyle Larson is running by far the top throwback scheme this weekend to Terry Labonte and the Kellogg's car, so...
Can we make that lineup work?
Sure. Just go all the way to the bottom. Let's do Justin Haley.
Gilliland?
Man, I just don't know if he can maintain.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Don't get me wrong. Josevar, you liked 58.
Okay. So I know I said completely fade him, but...
Oh.
Gilliland versus Cindric. With a 10 spot difference in starting position for $700, do you think that it's worth getting to Cindric?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We are disgusting. I love it.
Do you want to go Josevar starting 21st? Or I know you don't need
He doesn't attend the driver. He doesn't attend the SHR driver meetings, man.
Preece?
Yeah, you saw that last week, right? It was, they were talking about, I think it was Gragson or something, mentioned how they were having a three-driver meeting between him, Barry, and who the hell's the other guy?
Wow. People are probably screaming at us right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they're like, how could you forget that?
Anyways, yeah, it's somebody else.
Anyways, yeah, so of the SHR guys, apparently Ryan Preece was on the outside looking in as they were having driver meetings going over the data and analytics. And unbeknownst to him, you know, they were doing this. Apparently he didn't even know about it. And they were making jokes and showing like their running orders while Ryan Preece was running at the very back.
How did we forget Chase Briscoe? That's our guy.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, he's your guy.
Yeah.
It's because Briscoe has just been like there. He's been quietly overperforming.
So you think they're going to get rid of Preece, or is he just being a
Well, the rumors are that they're actually dropping two teams and they're taking on the two front row teams.
Oh, that's right. Two drivers.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, if you're going to have the question Preece over Josevar, honestly, I'd rather take Josevar right now. I know you're giving up five spots, but
yeah, I know this is a side and it really doesn't matter, but I think the plan is maybe Barry Gragson, Briscoe, and Gilliland. Interesting.
I mean, that's a good, honestly, I feel like that's a pretty good stable.
They do have Herbst in their Xfinity ride, but maybe he's.
And yeah, I don't think he's there yet.
And then Cole Custer is just like cooked. He's just never coming back.
Yeah, he'll probably come back with a different team.
He's like a 4A. He's like one of those guys that are like too good for AAA, but not good enough for the big leagues.
Yeah, he's Josh Berry last year. Like that's where he's reached.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the task at hand. Arthur.
Kind of like Preece, even though he doesn't attend driver meetings, apparently.
All right, put him in. the last four times we've come here, he's got an average finish of 20th. He's got two finishes of 15th or better. So
that seems good.
Yeah, starting 26, 5,900. I doubt anybody's going to be on him.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're going to lineup, though. I'm grossed out right now.
I love that lineup, honestly. That lineup gets me up in the morning. All right. So we did Hamlin, Larson. I think I'm going to push us in a weird direction that we may not go. And I don't know if this is even if we want to even triple stack at this point.
Okay, let's see it.
Christopher Bell and Martin Truex Jr.
Love it. And then add Tyler.
That was just going to say, do you want to do that too?
Yeah, love it.
All right. And now we need to dive into Barfville again, but
we're definitely not putting Austin Cindric in this lineup. I can
No, God no. God.
What about Daniel Hemric? I know he's like trash and everybody made fun of him when they announced that he was signing with Colleague, but I feel like he's been just surviving the last couple of weeks, and he's just like somehow getting through. And so I think he might be a sneaky good value.
I think he's fine. I'm happy. Like, he can't be any worse than any of these other trash bags that are floating around down here.
Okay. This is where we go up. Because we've saved enough. I think we have to add either Eric Jones or Noah Gragson to this.
I want to do the Noah thing. I don't want to trust Eric Jones. I know he's had good track history and starting at a good spot, but just coming off the injury, it really feels like a day where he's either just gonna be riding around like in the back, or he'll end up in a wreck and end up
God like, forbid wreck again, yeah.
Or like blow a wheel or just something. So
yeah.
And that puts us in an interesting position.
Can I talk you into another Toyota, same team as Erik Jones, but John Hunter Nemechek, who should have won the Xfinity race last year, had Kyle Larson not gotten extremely aggressive?
You could. Can I talk you into Austin Dillon, who is going to be a lot less owned?
I don't hate Dillon because, again, you're going to a veteran track. I think at this point, Dillon can be considered one of the veterans. He's been in the sport a long time in the Cup Series. So,
just because you're not good doesn't make you not a veteran.
Oh, man. What a dig.
Well, I mean, it's funny, like some of these, like Harrison Burton, Austin Cindric, Austin Dillon, like they really hang on for a long time in like pretty quality rides for the most part.
Yeah. I almost feel like Harrison Burton's time in the Wood Brothers car is probably coming to an end here shortly.
Yeah. And if his dad wasn't Jeff Burton, it would have already ended.
Probably. Well, yeah, because I mean, when you look at that car, like obviously even with my limited knowledge of the sport, you know, jumping in just a few years ago, it's clear that even while they're not a top tier team, the drivers that came before him in that ride were all pretty successful, you know, winning races, running inside the top 10, maybe not often, but often enough to give it recognition, while Burton hasn't done none of that.
Yeah, especially with the Penske relationship, it's, you know, basically a Penske car. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
But then Austin Cindric's doing the same shit in actual Penske car. So,
well, again, he's a Nepo baby. Like,
Okay. So I think for our third lineup, we need to go Ford
heavy.
Yeah.
I think we start with Brad Kay here.
Okay. And then Ryan Blaney.
Man, I don't.
Yeah, I guess if we're doing the Ford thing, who are we?
Maybe do Gragson.
Oh, okay, Gragson.
Yeah, I think Gragson's got to be in there. If we're going Ford heavy, you got to put Gragson. Okay.
Somebody else
you know who looked decent in practice was actually Josh Berry.
Okay. Yeah, I could do that. He got better too. And he's pretty cheap, so it makes lineups easier to cobble together.
I mean, No, we're not doing two lineups. I knew exactly where your mind was going. And if we hadn't put him in the first one, I would say, oh, definitely he fits in this one.
But like, if we're going Ford heavy,
no, could you?
Okay. Okay.
Look, the only way I see Cindric's day going is either he's going to win the race or he's going to wreck out because he's going to finish worse than 25th. I don't see a world where he's like a top 10 car and he finishes inside the top 10 at this particular track.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. So I do think this is a spot where you have to go like middle. It's either going to be a Blaney or a Logano. I don't hate Blaney. Both. I mean, you want to do both? I mean, if it works.
Disgusting. Yeah, I guess if we let's do Logano for argument's sake. We have 9K for our final two spot, an average of 9K, 1800 for final two spots.
Man, you could put Denny or Larson in this.
Well, I was going to say we don't necessarily have to go 6 for 6 with Fords. We just want to go Ford heavy. So
yeah. You know who we don't have any exposure to? Is Chastain or Busch yet?
Yeah.
Do you think either of those two guys can win, though, before we even...
Kyle Busch, I think, can win. But I think with this lineup, I'd rather push... we're already being, I think, different enough where I want to push us into, an elite guy. It could even be Truex for my... Or, we haven't even mentioned Byron, but I think he's fine, too. But I would like to get one of, these four.
All right. I'll give you the honors of
just to see what it is. I'm going to do that just to see what it is. So basically it's let's see what our 2v2 is, right? So we put Larson in. That gets us into Briscoe, McDowell, Austin Dillon, Austin Cindric. Or we wrong click. All right, take him out. Logano, Kyle Busch, And that leaves 8,700. And then we're looking at Ty Gibbs, Bubba Wallace, Bowman, Chris Buescher. So I guess, do you feel better about having a Larson, even if that means we're going down to like one of the Austins or Stenhouse or something? Or do you want to do like Kyle Busch and Ty Gibbs, Bubba Wallace, Alex Bowman, Chris Buescher?
I mean, do you think both RFK guys can just maintain and stay? I mean, they were both extremely popular.
We've seen when that one of them runs well, they tend to both run well. They don't typically like they're like at Phoenix, where even when the stage got flipped, they end up kind of in the same spot. Buescher's been like, his track history is kind of all over the place, but he's been much better of late. We do Buescher, that gets us to 10-3, and then we could do
Redick or Bell. Ooh, man. Do
Bell, or even Chase Elliott.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm just going back real quick, and I'm looking at the two spring races in the Gen 7 car. And of the top 10 finishers in those races, there's a total of 5 cars that started top 10 that finished inside the top 10 in those two races. And I don't know, late caution or not, it's clearly it's difficult to maintain up front here.
Yeah. What do you think about doing Buescher instead of Keselowski?
Then we can get to the top.
And that gives us like an extra $1,500, and then we could do some crazy stuff.
Okay, yeah. What if you take out Logano and just do Keselowski?
So Buescher, Gregson, Barry, and Keselowski?
Yeah.
And that gives us 95.5.
I mean, the only thing that's worrisome about that is with those guys starting up front like that, the only way they can really go is backwards. And unless both of them lead like 50 plus laps, really putting ourselves in a deep hole. So I like your idea of grabbing one.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Well, if our goal is to get up to some of these high price guys,
okay,
I don't think it makes sense to have Buescher and Keselowski, but I think Buescher route might be a little less rostered. Obviously we're saving salary, and Buescher's been really good, and he was good last week. I think
he's especially in clean air.
Yeah, I think he'll get clean air and could be a top 5 car the majority of the day in this world. Like, I think that's what we're banking on. I don't think that's crazy.
All right. So then we could probably get two of the top guys of the top of the 10K guys with this lineup.
Or we could do Blaney and Logano and then go up. Well, I guess they're still in the same area.
Yeah.
So if we do a Hamlin, that gets us to about 84.
You could put Larson in this lineup. I'm just.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to go double up on Hamlin and Larson in the same lineup, though, but.
Oh. Or we could. Ooh. How do we feel about the Larson Elliott combo, or would you rather do Larson and maybe like a Toyota?
Yeah, I think we gotta have like a Bell or a Truex. Yeah, I think Bell, honestly, I'm gonna say again, currently sitting on 14-1 on Christopher Bell. I am ecstatic because I think he's got a fantastic car. So
okay. So we'll do the Fords, Bell, Larson. Do we want a Briscoe? Do we want a Stenhouse, McDowell? Austin Dillon, Austin Cindric.
I can't get there with Cindric again. Although, if he does perform well.
I think what we do is we put him in this lineup, and then we
remove him from the other one?
I think he makes way more sense here. If we're leaning on the Fords here, I think this is the lineup to do it.
All right.
And that also gets us up to Truex if we want to do Truex instead of Chris Bell. But I think you're more interested in Bell. Although we talked about how excited we were about Truex, and I think we put Truex in this lineup.
Instead of Bell?
Instead of Bell.
Okay. All right. Get the old man.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I am.
All right. So, and then we'll go back and edit this one. Get Cindric out the paint. So this is our Hamlin, Larson, Elliott, Priest, Haley, and that gives us 6,200. So we can do John Hunter, who you, I think we're interested in. Josevar, I think you were interested in. I don't mind LaJoy, even though he seems to be trending wrong direction.
Yeah, I feel like let's do John Hunter Nemechek here.
Yeah. Bing, bang, boom.
Up on Cindric.
Truex, Reddick, Bell, Gragson, Austin Dillon, Daniel Hemric, Larson, Truex, Buescher, Gragson, Barry, Cindric, Hamlin, Larson, Elliott, Nemechek, Ryan Preece, Justin Haley. I like those lineups. And I think we may have odds too, which is at least.
We do?
I think so. At least from Superbook.
Oh, dude, Superbook is money. I so wish I was in Vegas already, which, by the way, I will be there super early tomorrow morning.
All right, so we'll use Superbook. I don't think Caesars is up to date yet. Let me see.
Yeah, we can just look at the Superbook numbers.
But Superbook will give us a good jumping off point. As always, make sure you're subscribed to our Substack, aoppodcast.substack.com. It's linked in the description. It is completely free. It provides additional DFS thoughts. It provides our favorite bets and our full betting card, as well as links to episodes and other fun stuff. If you have suggestions for what else should be in our Substack, things that would be helpful to you, please drop them down in the comments, or you can message Brian and I on the X machine. We are always looking to improve that and make that a better experience for you, better experience for us. And we're just trying to diversify our content a little bit. So Larson is your favorite at 4. We're now able to get Hamlin at 5, which I like. I think our favorite offshore maybe gives us like a 6. And I'll be excited. Truex at 7. I feel better about that, which is kind of silly, but you know, it's weird that like 6.5, you're like, meh. But 7, you're like, ooh. just for transparency and in case you missed it, I have Hamlin at 5, Chase Elliott at 16, and Tyrone at 30 from pre-practice and qualifying. Brian has Elliott at 16, Chris Bell at 14.
I'm adding Bell at 20. If Superbook's going to give me 20 on the car that I think is the best, that was the best in practice, I am going to smash the shit out of this.
Yeah. Elliott's at 20. Do you have interest in Elliott at 20? I know we already bet him at 16, so we're probably not doubling down, but if he wasn't on your
card. I would not double down on Elliott.
If he wasn't on your card, though, would you be interested in him, or is it not really?
Probably not. I don't know. I do think that there's some value on Chastain at 20, though.
Yeah, I feel like this range, like Kyle Busch at 18, Elliott at 20, Chris Bell at 20, Chastain at 20, and my guy Tyrone at 25. I don't hate that range.
You know what? I'm adding Chastain. Let's get him twice in victory lane this weekend.
And you're really spraying the outright card. Chris, I guess it's only 3 names. Elliott, Chris Bell, Ross Chastain.
And then, of course, I will be adding a Martin Truex Jr. number. I just got to find the right one.
Yeah, I'm adding Truex, too. I'm going to see what the best number is, but if 7's the best, that's what I'm adding.
Yeah.
And
then, again, like I said with Keselowski, I want to bet him. I'm sitting on over half a win for the season, but I'm not betting 12-1 on a guy who hasn't won a freaking race in forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that Byron at 7 feels kind of weird. Like, I'd rather just bet Truex.
Yeah, so I think Truex is a much better play.
So Byron will probably win this week because I'm not betting him. I feel like
Honestly, I think when you look at, okay, so just breaking down practice splits real quick. Denny's numbers, like, he wasn't the fastest, but again, I've mentioned this a couple of times. When you look at fall off, it was less than a tenth every five-lap segment for him. And there is nobody better than him at managing tires, which is what's going to come into play, you know, tremendously here at Darlington.
Yeah, and it's like you mentioned with Chris Bell, like there's other cars on the track that are slowing down your five-lap averages. There's different things happening. Like his numbers are kind of all over the place. Like he was 17th on 10 lap, but then 31st on 15, but then 20th. And then,
Practice was kind of was weird. Like I saw that a lot when I was watching the live Delta. A lot of guys were running really good, and then all of a sudden they would blip, you know, eight tenths to a full second slower one lap, and then get back to the averages that they were running prior to that. So definitely traffic played a major role in that.
And when names like Austin Cindric, Todd Gilliland, Michael McDowell, Noah Gragson, Ricky Stenhouse, Chase Briscoe are near the top of the splits, you know practice was weird.
Exactly. And perfect evidence of that is how they reopened at the betting market. Like even Cindric at 300-1, I'm not, well, I mean, maybe that is a decent bet, but like that's a losing bet. I mean, do you really trust that guy to work his way from 25th? No.
Yeah, it's like that meme of that girl. She's like,
Exactly. That's a perfect example of that.
And I was with Byron. Like, I was on almost, I think, every one of his wins last year, almost every one. And this year I've missed all of them, so he'll probably win this week. Okay, like I mentioned, we will be posting all of our bets on the Substack, so make sure you go check that out. We'll have top fives, top tens, manufacturer props, all of our favorite stuff, as well as checking out our full betting card once full lines have dropped. Like Brian said, I think we're both going to probably add Truex. I'm tempted to add KFB at 18. I think that's it. Anyone you're considering besides Truex?
I mean, the numbers suck. Believe me, I refuse to bet these, but Larson and Denny are just better than everybody else this year. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, like, I think that betting them is a good idea because even in the race, unless they wreck or they have a major issue, they're probably not going to get much longer than this. Yeah. So I think you have to have exposure to them somehow.
Yep. And we've seen this year, it's just been like the same handful of names really winning races. Like sure, a 20-1 or 30-1 could hit, but for the most part, it's the elites, dominating and being there at the end. So you could find ways to get, get invested in some of the longer shots, but I think I have some Hamlin, I'm gonna add some Truex, and then it's really like if I want to add a third, whether it's a KFB or Byron, or I'm not gonna add the RFK boys. I feel like the number is gone, and if I miss it, I miss it. The Bell number at 20 is interesting. I don't have interest in Chastain. I think that's it. So make sure you subscribe. It's free to subscribe. And then you get an email in your inbox every race day with all the picks and
all
stuff.
All of our bets, our quick breakdowns on our top three DK guys.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So Brian and I can put our stuff on there. And if you're like, you can either follow us or you can fade us, whatever way, but it's free. It costs you nothing. And Helps does a lot. We're also really close to 1,000 subs. And,
oh, yeah.
Based on our people that watch the video versus how percentage of subscribers, if it's like 10% of you non-subscribe people just click subscribe, we'd get to 1,000 pretty quickly. So if we could do that before the All-Star weekend, I know it's like basically next week, but that would be really cool. So get us to 1,000 subs and maybe we could do a giveaway. If not, we'll just keep plugging away at it like we have been. Still haven't figured out exactly what we're going to do next week, but we'll work on that. We'll get you some updates on kind of a game plan for that. And then obviously we'll be back for Coke 600 and the rest of the NASCAR season. For Brian Twining, I'm Kyle Robert. Brian with the very, very sick Mark Martin hat. I'm very jealous. Might be scrolling some eBay listings later to try and get some new merch for myself. enjoy the race. Let's cash some tickets. Let's hit some winners on DraftKings and call your mom. Say Happy Mother's Day.